All the Lost World Well Lost. Written and read by Fresney. Fandoms: Twisted Princesses Disney Art, Tarzan Edgar Rice Burroughs, and Barsoom Edgar Rice Burroughs. Pairings: Jane Tarzan, La Tars Tarkas. Rating: PG-13. Summary: Queen La, the Lonely. High Priestess La, the Empty. All she asked for was a companion to share her burden, a non-monkey burden. The leopard priests brought her a slightly bruised daughter. Queen La, the Lonely, wasn't quite so lonely now that she had her lost princess. Princess Ja of Opar wore a crown that she had killed with her own hand, because nobody hurts Mummy and gets away with it. Jane tumbled through vertiginous space. Oh, lovely. Her clutching fingers found purchase on one of the vines that strung between cliff faces. She hung there a perfectly splendid moment, and swung like a sort of British pear, or banana, or some other fruit that hung on a vine. She really ought to be able to identify which type of fruit. But then her arm ached, and she came to the conclusion that perhaps her main focus ought to be climbing down from this rather precarious perch. The baby baboon, that had caused such a terrible fuss, scampered down the cliff face and jumped onto her head. It screamed at her, and she said, "Oh, please, no!" as her fingers lost their grip and they plunged towards the racing river below. Her last thought, before she plunged into the Stygian depths, was, "What good fortune there's a river!" Everything went black, and the water flung her from rock to rock with the baby baboon clutched in her arms. The corridors of Opar stretched for empty miles through the primeval jungle. Here and there the trees had taken back a former palace or temple. La, the High Priestess of the Flaming God and Queen of Opar, walked through her treasure room full of gold ingots that long ago were to have been sent to Atlantis, when that empire spread from dawning sea to the ocean, where the sun descended to cool his flaming brow, before the wretched place sank beneath a tidal wave and cursed Opar to this lonely existence. She removed her crown and caressed the cat's eye crystal that her mother had given her before leaving her as a small child to the tender care of the leopard men. "You should have taken me with you, mother. It had been ages. The Flaw could be stubborn in her grudges. If they'd gone together, they'd have found Atlantis, not merely never returned." She walked through the cavernous stone hallways. The leopard men made way for her. They always made way. She leaned against a stone balcony and looked out at Opar's echoing spaces. She laughed. "My kingdom." Bored, she put on her crown again and tapped her staff to appear in a flash in her throne room. She lounged upon the throne, because thrones were for lounging. The leopard men came in with their offerings. La whispered, "Queen La, the Lonely. High Priestess La, the Empty. All I ask for is a companion to share my burden. She struck her staff upon the ancient stone slabs. And what do you bring me? A monkey. Kaj, one of her leopard men, who held up the limp body of a baby baboon, stumbled back to avoid disintegration. She sighed. Why do you always bring me monkeys? Do I look like a monkey? Bah, another leopard priest pushed forward through the throng. He held up a limp girl in his arms. La slid from her throne. Is she dead? She was not dead. La snapped her fingers. Prepare a chamber. She brushed those same fingers, now gentle with her mother love, across the livid bruises on the girl's head. For my sweet princess. Mummy raised her sinewy arms and intoned the sacred invocation to the flaming god. Princess Jar wished that she could remember all the times before that Mummy had performed this rite, but the accident had stolen that from her, just as it had stolen from her all of her surely happy memories, playing in the buildings of Opar as a child. All that was left from before was a memory of falling, and little Nakima clutched in her arms. Nakima sat on a statue of a leopard man and bared his teeth happily at her, but Jar did not turn to wave or play with him. There would be time for that later. The sacrifice on the altar struggled at his bonds. He yelled, "You can't do this to me, by Jupiter! I'm the Emperor Sublatus Imperator of Castra Sanguinarius. We're Romans." Princess Jar smiled and thought, "Invader, now you're a sacrifice." Mummy was of stronger stuff and did not falter in her prayers. She called upon the great cat's eye, and the flaming god answered her to claim his prize. As the flames seared the burning flesh of the sacrifice, Kaj, a leopard priest, snapped in the crazed bloodlust of one of his kind. He dashed the brains of Tha, another priest, on the floor. He struck Mother a thunderous blow. Her staff spun across the floor, while Mummy fell in a tangled heap. He leapt towards Mummy with a growl. Princess Jar cried out, "Mummy!" She didn't think. She pulled out the knife of her mummy and jumped on Kaj's back as he crouched. She wrapped one arm around his neck. As he struggled, she struck with the sharp-toothed blade of her mummy. She stabbed again and again until his savage heart was stilled. Princess Jar stood and pointed the blade dripping with blood at the room of watching leopard men. "Nobody touches Mummy." "Oh," Mummy struggled to her feet. "I could not be prouder. Wish for better technique, perhaps, but never prouder." Mummy wrapped her hands around the wrist that held the knife. She delicately licked at the golden blade. After a taste, she pushed it with a gentle maternal hand to Jar's lips. "Taste the blood of what you have killed this day." Jar licked at the blade and tasted the coppery salt. Her veins surged with primal joy of victory. When the blade was clean, Mummy tilted it so Jar could see herself in its bright reflection. "Look at yourself. Today, you are a woman." Mummy snapped her fingers. "Take this thing." She waved it at Kaja's corpse, cooling on the temple floor, and skin it. She brushed back Jah's hair with a mother's love, shining from her face. The princess will wear it, for that which she has killed for her crown. Mummy sniffed at the air and whispered a word. The eye of the flaming god ceased to consume the crispy remains on the altar. And take that way. It's done. Jah swung lightly through the gloom of the forest. It was Mummy's birthday tomorrow, and while she said she hated to be reminded just how hideously old she was, Jah knew better. A blazing light streaked above the trees in the bleak jungle night. Jah raced towards it. Nakima raced at her side. The baboon bared a long-fanged grin at her, and she just couldn't resist. I know, I know. I hope this one works out. I'm out of ideas, and I simply can't give Mummy another giant lizard for her birthday. They reached the place where the light had gone down. A copper and steel tube lay at the center of a raw crater amid the trees. A door cracked open in the tube, and smoke billowed out from inside, but nothing came out. From the opposite side of the crater, faster than the jungle lion leaps, a mostly naked figure swung down from the trees and ran to the object. With mighty bronze thews, the savage jungle man wrestled the door of the tube open the rest of the way, and pulled first one, and then another tall green figure out of the crater. She brushed her fingers through Nakima's tangled fur. She whispered, "I'll take all of them." She turned and raised her eyebrows at the leopard men following her. "I said, I'll take all of them." She snapped her fingers. "Chop, chop! I still have to wrap them before tomorrow." Mummy clapped her hands and sighed over her gifts, which had been washed and oiled with pleasing unguents and clad in the bejeweled raiment of Opar. Mummy gestured with her staff, having cast a spell to allow them to understand each other. "I am La, Queen of Opar. I'm so sorry about the roughness of how you were brought here, but my daughter, Princess Jah." Her hand brushed down the pelt on Jah's back, was so overcome at your plight that she rushed to bring you here. Her eyes slid appreciatively over all 15 feet of the green man with his 4 muscular arms. "What is your name?" The giant bowed his tusked head and said, "I am Taras Tarkas, a former Jed of the Thark. We are green Martians." He rested his hand on the shoulder of the 12-foot-tall woman next to him. "This is my daughter." A smile flashed between the yellow tusks on the green woman's face. "Sola." "A daughter. How lovely." Mummy turned to the lively muscled man. "Beautiful as a statue of a god." Not that Jah had caressed him overly long, while she personally rubbed and oiled him to glistening. "And you are?"
"Tarzan of the Apes."
He stood quite tall and proud. Jah's heart clutched in her chest, because it hurt to give him away.
Mummy smiled at him. How quaint. She turned back to the green man. Welcome to the wonders of lost Opar. It is my sincere hope that you will be so comfortable here that you will never leave.
Her tone held the command of the queen that she was, which made Jaw's heart surge with pride.
Mummy put her hand on Tars Tarkus' arm. Do you believe in fate?
Tars Tarkus looked down, with red eyes deep as the rubies that studied Mummy's robes.
Yes, great Queen La, I believe in a fate that could take me to a place where I might fight for one worth fighting for.
Mummy tapped her staff on the stone floor and gained a couple inches of height.
Excellent. I'm certain that fate has aligned our stars.
Meanwhile, Tarzan stared at Jaw, and she knew, she just knew that Mummy's next order would be to drag him to the altar for her celebration, and her heart hurt. However, Mummy knew her heart even before it was spoken.
Mummy looked back over her shoulder. I know you got him for me, but...
Mummy licked her lips. Her hand drifted up Tars Tarkus's arm.
You keep him. I want you to be happy.
Jaw squealed, because she had the best mummy in the lost world. She took Tarzan's hand. I have so much to show you. He followed her, smiling, through the dark paths of Opar, and they were lost together.